Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word.
We want to encourage you to continue to contact us and let us know you're out there listening to this exciting broadcast. How can they contact us?
I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, Victory in Living at AOL.com. Please visit us at our website at Victory in Living Ministries. Again, all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org.
We know that you have been divinely appointed to hear the Victory in Living broadcast and believe that you'll receive insight in the fulfilling of your divine destiny. Let your family and friends know about this exciting series and when to tune in.
And just so you know, we are available for weekend services. We are anointed of God in both word and music, and we have been anointed for such a time as this. So give us a call. We would love to come and minister for you. Well, Ray, it's about that time. Are you ready to sing?
I sure am, Pam.
Okay, so what are you going to sing?
We're going to sing you two songs, and one song is really, it really means a lot to Pam and I, because this little young lady, years ago, we was hung up a lot on Dottie Rambo's songs, and she got acquainted with this song, and she loved to sing it, and I'm going to sing it for you. This is a little girl named Becky, about 17 years old. She got saved and full of the Spirit, and she just loves God. And she's still serving the Lord. So anyway, we want to sing this for you, "Sheltered in the Arms of God." I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I once trod. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the dark clouds rise, the storm clouds rise. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and I'll wake up in God's new heaven. Shelter safe within the arms of God. So let the storm clouds rise, the dark cloud skies, they don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God." And we're going to sing you one more. The Inspiration sung this, first time I ever heard it, 1975. It's Touring the City. Many times I have trouble about the sights of that city, and all my eyes shall behold. I will see all the wonders when I enter that city, there forever be safe in his fold. Some morning you'll find me touring that city where the sun of God is the light. You'll find me there on the streets so pretty, made of gold, so pure and so bright. Oh, with Jesus, the one who gave us the victory and who led us across the divide. Some morning you'll find me touring the city where with him I will ever abide. Here on earth we have troubles, and to us they seem heavy, but in heaven no one will be sad. Mom and Dad will be singing, heaven's praises will be ringing for the dearest friend I ever had. Oh, some morning you'll find me touring that city where the Son of God is the light. You'll find me there on the streets so pretty, made of gold, so pure and so bright. With Jesus, the one who gave me the victory and who led me across the divide. Some morning you'll find me touring the city where with him I will ever abide. Oh, some morning you'll find me touring that city where the Son of God is the light. You'll find me there on the streets so pretty, made of gold, so pure and so bright. Oh, with Jesus, the one who gave me the victory and who led me across the divide. Some morning you'll find me touring the city where with him I will ever abide.
Thank you, Ray. That was great. For the last several weeks, we have been talking about discovering our divine destiny, and our base scripture is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Everyone has a divine destiny. By the way, Ray, what or who is destiny?
No, hey, it's not the rock group, but it is the design, the goal, the intent, the intentions, or the objective of our lives. And you know, Pam, one of the neat things we learned was that we have to leave the past behind. But we aren't out in the cold because we learned to get that the divine destiny. We have to get acquainted with God.
Good. And on the way to discovering our divine destiny, after we get acquainted with God, we have to attend to God's Word, be led by the Spirit of God, and learn to forgive.
Wow. And it gets better than that. We actually come to a place that we can take back what the devil stole and continue to build strong faith. Do you remember the formula for building strong faith?
Sure do. Number one, we had to build strong faith. You have to surround yourself with that which produces faith. Makes sense. And then the second part, you have to build on the Word of God, not just experience. Throw in a little bit of number three, which we must look to the Word of God, not someone's personality. And then on four, we learn that we must remember that obedience is necessary. And number five, let us know that not only obedience was necessary, but to build strong faith, we must also have humility. And throw in a little bit of six, and that was holy boldness.
This is really good, but we're going to talk about living a life of love. Have you met people who know the faith message? Hey, they're not missing it in their confessions. They're not missing it in knowing what the Word of God says. They're not missing it in believing the Word, but they're missing it by not knowing to walk in love.
Listen, people, let me tell you a truth. Faith is the hand that takes the things we need from God. Everything Jesus purchased for us on Calvary can be attained by love. But faith works by love. Galatians 5:6 says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love."
Okay, so Pam, let me understand. You're saying the one of the reasons why faith is not working for some is that they do not have a full understanding of what the Word of God says? And that is, faith that works by love will measure up to all of the standards set down in the Word of God.
You got it right. For so long, everyone was so worried about their confession that they forgot to watch their daily lives. Ouch. That's right. We can become so accustomed to doing certain things in the natural that we never realize they could be hindering us in the spiritual. Things like losing our temper. Okay, I won't meddle. But to make faith work in our lives, we must protect ourselves in every area.
You know, I've always heard Bible teachers and preachers say that we must have faith to please God. But many casually just pass over the teachings that faith works by love. If we're going to live in line with God's Word, we must not only be a faith child of a faith God, but we must also be a love child of a love God. We need to understand all facets of the love walk and how it relates to success in life, both spiritually and naturally. The love of God needs to ooze out of us so much that when we enter a room, people will know we are walking in love.
Wow, Ray. That kind of love we're talking about will take the Word of God, now listen to this, in your heart and in your mouth and turn it into a steamroller for God. Nothing will be able to stand in your way, nothing whatsoever. You will roll right over that obstacle that the devil has put in your way. And then if the devil stands in your way, you'll turn on the love of God and roll right over him, praising Jesus all the way. You will begin to see things happen. Ray, you remember the song, "We Will Roll Right Over Them"?
Yes.
That reminds me of that song. Anyway, did you know that the Bible says demons believe and even tremble? Let's look at James 2:19. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Why? Because they don't have any love. They are only filled with hate and fear.
Pam, let's look at the God kind of faith and its characteristics. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all of the wrongs. And 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Think about it. The real genuine love of God will cover, hide, and put out of sight more sins than we can even name. Even to the point that God gave his only Son, John 3:16, to remit and forgive our sins. That's the first area of love. God's love covers and removes sin.
That's good. Now let's look at some real life examples of ways to put God's love to work in our lives. Let's see. Why don't we read the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and let's read it in the Message Bible. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing.
If I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've got nowhere. So no matter what I say or what I believe or what I do, I bankrupt without love.
That's good, right? Let's read on. Love never gives up, Love cares more for others than for itself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head.
And number five, doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others.
Doesn't revel when others growl. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good.
We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing Him directly just as He knows us.
But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly. And the best of the three is love.
That's really a neat translation, that Message Bible. Puts it right in our everyday lives. Now let's look at the fruit of the Spirit in the New International Version, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Hey, Ray, let me read that one in the Message Bible. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard, things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way.
That's good, Pam. Notice if we're to study the fruit of the Spirit, we would find that we cannot have any of the fruit operating our life until we have love. I believe that is why the fruit of love is listed first. It is the foundation on which the rest of the fruit of the Spirit rests.
We will need to wake up. We all need to wake up and start checking all areas of our lives, and we will find certain areas in which we are not really walking in love. And those areas are hindering our faith from operating to its fullest capacity. Let's look at some more scriptures, Ray. Galatians 6:1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Now, notice the phrase, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Meekness is one of the fruits of the recreated human spirit. Now, notice the phrase. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. In other words, unless you show love in some of these areas, you might be taken by that same thing.
Pam, let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. See, if we're walking in God's love, then we must not esteem ourselves better than another, and must not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. This can bring us down in a hurry. Many people have been brought low because of this. Some people have lost everything they had. People have said the Lord had to take it all away from them so he could work out something in their life. Hey, but that's not right, is it?
No, Ray, that's not what happens. The reason is because they didn't know how to walk in love. And it opened the door for the devil, and he come in and made havoc in their life. God did not have a thing to do with it. He could not keep the devil from destroying them because they were not walking in love. And you know, it gets even more exciting as we go. Let's look at Romans 12:10. Be devoted one to another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. When we get so busy preferring everyone else and unselfishly helping them obtain blessings that we forget about ourselves, that's when we will find honor, success, and promotion for ourselves.
Now, here's a good one. Love doesn't get offended.
Oh, boy.
Psalms 119 and 60, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The words offend and provoke are interchangeable in this passage. Love is not easily provoked when people speak evil or wrong about you, but love responds, Lord, help them. They don't understand what they're doing. And forgive them, because they are putting themselves in jeopardy.
And Ray, there's one that includes one of my favorite scriptures. Love speaks no evil. And connect that to Philippians 4:8. Which, once again, I'm going to read through from the Message Bible. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. So we do not entertain bad thoughts about anyone, because it will hinder your love walk and your faith. And that will keep you from receiving what you need from God and fulfilling your divine destiny.
So what we're saying is that we cannot afford not to live a life of love. We cannot afford to hold to one bit of malice. We cannot afford not to love our neighbors as ourselves. We cannot afford not to love ourselves. Why? Because when we put the God kind of love in action, we will no longer be content to be the mediocre, stay in a corner, and barely make it to heaven. We will be a success, even when you're not even trying to be.
That's good, Ray, because then we can dream, and I like this, faith dreams. And when we put the love of God to work with our faith and our confession, we will watch those dreams come into realities. The ultimate love in action was shown when Jesus took the bread at the Last Supper. He dipped it into the common dish, and then he fed it to Judas with his very fingers, knowing all the while that this man was betraying him. If you were to study the custom of their day, the highest act of love one could perform was to feed bread to a friend with his own fingers. That is love.
You know, Pam, when we begin to live and move in this God kind of love, it's going to spill over into your job, into your school, and every aspect or walk of your life. Not only will you reap spiritual benefits, you're going to reap natural benefits you've never thought possible.
That's right. When you get your life and your actions lined up with the Word of God and you place a strong guard on your tongue, you soon will find the love walk becoming automatic.
Then it's going to dawn on you that while you're living a life of love, you're not having to make all these good things happen. They're going to start happening automatically as you walk in love.
Because your faith is strong, and faith worketh by love, God's love, and that love covers the sins, mistakes, and shortcomings of others.
Pam, this is the way that to fulfill your divine destiny and accomplish God's plan for your life. We need to realize that as Christians, we all have a common destiny, And that's God's plans for our lives. It's number one is salvation and healing and deliverance and prosperity and everything that pertains to the life and of godliness.
And once you realize these things, then you can start accomplishing God's plan for your life by attending to God's Word, being led by the Spirit of God, learning to forgive, taking back what the devil stole, building strong faith, and living a life of love.
Good lesson, Pam. Now remember, next week, we're going to bring the final lesson on finding your divine destiny.
So remember, as Ray gets ready to sing us another chorus of Touring That City, remember that this is the year of total fulfillment, the year of glory.
Some morning you'll find me touring that city where the Son of God is the light. You'll find me there on the street so pretty, made of gold. Jesus, the one who gave me the victory, and he led me across the divide. Some morning you'll find me touring the city where with him I will ever abide. Oh, some morning you'll find me touring that city where the Son of God is the light. You'll find me there on the streets so pretty, made of gold, so pure and so bright. Oh, with Jesus, the one who gave me the victory and who led me across the divide. Some morning you'll find me touring that city where with him I will ever abide.
Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, according to Numbers 6, 24 through 26. Write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Take time and email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Visit us at our website, Victory in Living Ministries. Again, that's all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org.